Welcome one and all, once again, to a brand new episode of Nerd on the Rocks. This week, this month, I mean at this point, this half year, we have a very light show this week. It's just myself and Dan the Third.
Hey.
Which doesn't even work here, because there's only two people here, so he shouldn't even be the third. But we figured, right now Sam is sick, and Scott's working until night, but instead of skipping this week altogether, we are going to take a look at what the last episode we did was about fictional deaths. This week's episode is about the bloodbath that was the TV upfront week.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the past week we've had maybe a dozen and a half shows canceled between the four major networks. And of course, with that comes a bunch of shows to replace those. And some interesting ones that may or may not have been passed over for one reason or another. So we're going to run through that and just kind of give our thoughts and maybe any of these new shows that catches our eyes. Though I think that would actually come later on, because a lot of these shows just kind of have a name and a synopsis. And as the week goes on, we'll get more trailers and maybe even some episodes will make their way online, as they tend to do. So let's kick it over to you, Dan, because I'm sure there were some cancellations that probably hurt you the most.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a, you know, admitted ABC, Marvel, I wouldn't say fanboy, but like I definitely give them a more, you know, leniency than most other people. So, you know, I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They, especially season two, this season's been a little shaky, but they sort of had been building this whole, what they call Most Wanted, which was going to be Bobby Morse and her ex-husband, who were pretty good on the show, and they were going to go off and do spy adventures, sort of on the run kind of a situation, and they canceled that, which is kind of strange because it has, you know, Marvel behind it, and they canceled Agent Carter, which I know you love.
I act well enough. I think season two is kind of rough.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those weird shows that I think I enjoyed season one. I enjoyed Agent Carter. I think the problem was it's like you know, it works better for me than Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's so far removed from the current Marvel continuity. But that's also part of its hindrance because it has like this tiny window. Like I think for Marvel and I think for fans, at some point they need to accept that they're not infallible, because what happened here, and this, you know, a lot of fans will say this, you know, and I'll get to the reactions to this being canceled in a second, but, you know, like, to everybody, it's like, okay, they had the Marvel one-shot with Agent Carter about how, you know, she kind of got recruited from the SRS or whatever it's called.
SSR.
To form S.H.I.E.L.D. So to everybody, it was like, okay, this is the end point of the series. This is the end point of the series. And it's like, time-wise, that doesn't make any sense. Thematically, that doesn't make any sense. Story-wise, that doesn't make any sense because of the progress she showed in season one and the stuff she showed in season two. But season two had to regress. They put her in a new city, and it does that thing that a lot of shows do, which I hate, is like they want to keep the cast, so they find the most contrived reason for everybody to be cross-country. Which doesn't make any sense that a bunch of people from New York happen to be in LA at the same time.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I don't know that they needed to do the move to LA. It just seemed, I mean, I sort of get it and I sort of don't, because it makes you have to make all these weird concessions. But yeah, I think maybe not what everyone wanted. I wanted to see more, and this is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan in me. I wanted to see more connections to, I wanted to see them, you know, make S.H.I.E.L.D. And they never really got there.
And that's what I was going to get to as far as reaction goes. Because it seems to me a lot of people aren't necessarily upset that this, okay, from what I've seen, there are two camps that are upset about the cancellation of this show. And this, to me, speaks of why the show was never kind of a bigger deal than it was. It's like you had one crowd who were upset because it's a female-led Marvel show being canceled. And to them, that's like a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
To the other group, it's like, I wanted to see the formation of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I don't think that this show was ever concerned with that. I don't think that was ever the end goal for this show. But I understand for a lot of people, it's the gap that fills in what happened between Captain America, the First Avenger, and like the start of the Avengers with S.H.I.E.L.D. in it. The problem was that was never what the show was about, because from what we gathered, it seems like she's the only one in there, and they fill it with a bunch of side characters and love interests that weren't going to pay off in that regard. I think very few people watch this show, and I, you know, for what it is, and I think that eventually hurt it, because it's like this isn't the formation of S.H.I.E.L.D. This isn't that. This isn't this. So a lot of people were like, you know what? I'm just not going to watch it. And I think you'll see this with a lot of shows, where a lot of people want to eulogize this show and talk about how the network's evil for doing this, but they didn't watch it, or they didn't, you know, like, people don't discuss it. People don't tell people to go check out this show. Even as a fan of Agent Carter, it always kind of came with the, it's fun, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it,
yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, Marvel movies are doing just as well as... They're doing better than ever. You know, Civil War, you know, I don't think it made as much necessarily as the first two Avengers, but worldwide it's doing really well. And it just seems like the TV shows, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was renewed for a fourth season, which I think you and a lot of people assume is going to be the last one, the ratings aren't very good for any of these Marvel TV shows. We don't know about Netflix because they don't release the numbers about that, but they keep renewing them.
Yeah,
so
yeah, and Netflix has to be happy with the performances, because like you said, they keep on renewing them. And I think, and this is something I like to care to air, because, you know, I like DC TV shows. I prefer them for the most part, but I do also want to care to air, because a lot of people, you know, and myself included, I think sometimes you need to have the eye to notice what, because, you know, a lot of people say that these Marvel shows don't do well. Comparatively, they do about as on par with most of the DC shows. They do on par with Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. Like, they don't do as well as Supergirl or Gotham or Lucifer have. But it's all relative to the network they're on, because the CW doesn't have the same expectations that your CBS, your ABC, your Fox would have. So the shows do comparatively, but for the CW, like, Flash and Arrow putting those numbers make it the 1-2 show in their network, where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter putting these numbers made them not the bottom of the barrel, because there were a lot of shows they canceled during the season, but it made them close to the lower middle part of their network lineup. So they're much easier to get away with.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, personally, I'm a huge fan of TV ratings. Because of all these comic book shows, I got into TV ratings because all these shows were on air and I wanted to kind of see where the wind was blowing. And to me, Agent Carter Season 2 was a gift. If I was running ABC, would not have brought back Agent Carter based off of those numbers. And honestly speaking, I know people are upset about it, but Marvel Most Wanted was a terrible idea. Because you do not spin off a show from a show that is failing. It's not like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a huge audience. Even if you count the people who watch on the 8 viewings, it's still not a huge show. And to take that and have it to be the basis of another show seems like there's no room to grow there, because you had to have watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to understand these two characters' background. So that never made any sense to me. What I am more surprised by, I think, is the fact that we've heard nothing about Damage Control as far as this upcoming season goes.
Right, yeah, we've heard a lot about Powerless, which is the DC version, similar type of show, where it's about sort of... are they both about Queen of Crews, or is that only...
No, okay. DC, the Powerless is about... an insurance agent dealing with it, and then Damage Control with the people who clean up after a superhero battle.
Pretty similar ideas.
Yeah, similar ideas, and like what happens after these big iconic brawls happen, but different in their job relations. But yes, it's kind of like on the ground, behind the scenes stuff. And yes, I was surprised. Well, not surprised, because Powerless was actually announced first, but Damage Control is an actual comic book. So it was surprising because Powerless was announced, and then like ABC's like, oh, we're doing Damage Control. And it's like, yeah, I don't think both of these shows are going to do well, And this is where I think, I mean, and damage control may still happen. It just won't happen this fall. It could happen in the spring. It can happen next year, whatever. Like, Most Wanted was a 2-year part. They tried to push it last year. It didn't go through. They tried to push it again this year, and it didn't go through. But I think this is where kind of it's all connected. Sometimes bites Marvel in the ass. And that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when it started, everybody was kind of coming off that Avengers high. Everybody was like, you know, like they advertised it. They had, you know, they had Thor's hammer, they had Cap's shield, they showed a green egg. So you're thinking, okay, the Avengers are going to be in this show. You're going to see them pop up from time to time. And it gives you these expectations that the show was never able to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if the closest comparison I can make is Gotham, which was very clear with its marketing for the first season. It was, you know, like Gotham's marketing was before Batman, before the Joker, before the Riddler, before the Penguin. That's what it said. So you knew this isn't going to be the show where Batman shows up. Where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. literally showed shots of the Avengers. Not, you know, not full on because they couldn't afford them, but they showed iconic things from those heroes, and you expected that. And because you can watch, because of the comic book shows that we've had in the past 5 years, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still has the highest debut. I think it was something like 13 million people watched it. And to kind of see how that eroded over the first season and continued to erode over the second and third season just kind of goes to show you that there was interest for Marvel on TV. And over the 3 years, this show, Agent Carter, have kind of squandered that goodwill. That's not to say that people won't come back if they have a show, but I think they need to leave this segment of the Marvel Universe alone on TV for a while. Which is why, again, why I didn't think Most Wanted made any sense, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a spy show. Agent Carter is a spy show. Most Wanted would have been a spy show. Damage Control would have been something different.
I guess I'm just surprised that they didn't give Most Wanted, like, just give it, like, 6 episodes or something. Just to cancel it. You know? I don't know.
Honestly speaking, I think I said as much because the news of Agent Carter came out first. And when I saw that, I'm like, okay, with Agent Carter canceled, this gives me much more hope that Most Wanted would be picked up, because I could see them doing the same thing they did with Agent Carter, which was when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes on break for the winter, have Most Wanted be that show that fills in for 2 months. And it makes sense because those characters were more closely linked to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And when that was not picked up, I was actually kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this has to be taken in a larger context. ABC canceled a lot of shows.
Okay, and this is something that, yeah, you can run through those shows real quick. I would just say that this is something I think people not misrepresented. I think networks did themselves a disservice, even though they were being noble in this case, because what networks did, is instead of really canceling shows outright during the season that were struggling, they kind of waited and saw until the end of the season to see what they had and what they could possibly pick up. And what you ended up getting is, I think it was Thursday and Friday. Thursday was ABC, Fox, and the CW, and I think Friday was NBC and CBS, where you just got a crap ton of shows canceled all at once. And it just, I think I dubbed it Red Thursday, because it was just like every other thing that came out was like, this show's canceled, this show's not moving forward. And yeah, I think, like I said, if you want to run through some of the shows that were in this wake, this wave of cancellations.
Sure. So this might be an incomplete list, but it says that ABC canceled Gallivant, which I'm not really sure what that was. I'm assuming
the reason they canceled it.
Okay. I'm assuming it's something to do with Once Upon a Time, maybe?
No, it's unrelated.
No? Unrelated? Okay.
It's a musical. It was a fantasy musical TV show set in kind of that romanticized time where heroes rode on horses and sword fought. And yeah, it was a musical. It did not find an audience. Again, like Agent Carter, this served two purposes. It was a show that aired in the winter break to fill in 2 months. and it was a show that was given a second chance that probably shouldn't have. But, you know, I enjoyed it. It was self-aware, but it wasn't self-aware enough for me. I think if it was goofy, it would have been much, much better.
Mm-hmm. So The Muppets was also canceled, which got a lot of buzz when it was first announced, because, you know, The Muppets. It was such a beloved franchise. But it seemed like as the episode started airing, and I didn't see it, but I heard a lot of people complain that it was not really what they wanted. I don't know exactly how to express that. It was sort of trying to be a one camera, sort of like The Office version, and it was like raunchy. There was like inner puppet human relationships, right?
Yeah. To just kind of take it back a bit, if nobody remembers this, I do. But actually, when we're going through the new shows, I picked The Muppets as my most anticipated show of the fall season. It was, you know, I grew up on The Muppets. Everybody grew up on The Muppets. The Muppets are fantastic. The Muppets had a great movie recently. The Muppets have amazing Christmas specials and stuff like that. And, you know, I thought the idea, you know, the idea of the Muppets being like a spin of 30 Rock meets The Office was kind of fun and novel. And then you just kind of realize, like, these aren't the characters you just want them to kind of be goofy and over the top. You don't want them to have actual lives. You don't want to see them dating. You don't want to see Kermit and Miss Piggy dealing with their breakup and stuff like that. So it was just like one of those shows where it's like it's mature, but it's not the characters you want to be mature with.
Yeah. So Nashville was also canceled, which I thought was doing pretty well. And you know more about ratings, so was it doing okay?
It wasn't doing that great, but I think the big dagger for it was that it was just kind of an expensive show to do. Mm-hmm. So if you get million ratings and you're expensive, and I don't think it was produced by ABC, there's that. On the somewhat bright side, the company is shipping it around, and I don't even know if this channel is still around, but some people have suggested that CMT might pick it up, the country music.
Yeah, I think that's still around. I think that does the...
Right, they have the Country Music Awards. I assume that's where it airs. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Steve Austin's show is on that channel.
Oh, I thought it was on. I honestly don't know. I don't watch his show. I just know he's always talking about Redneck Island.
Yeah, let me check. But yeah, it was definitely female focused, but it seemed to be doing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. ABC has a lot of shows that are female focused, so that's never. It's very hard to fault them on that. I just honestly think that it was probably like what you'll find, and this is one of the reasons why Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. survives, is that if a show's done by the network, it's easier for them to swallow the pill if you don't get great ratings, because they can sell it off eventually for syndication and make back some money. ABC did not produce Nashville, so they had, you know, they went through a third party. And you have to pay them, and then if it hits syndication, you don't really get much from that.
Yeah, so Steve Austin's show is on CMT, and that would seem like it would make sense, but they'd probably have to cut the budget a lot. But, I mean, it's kind of stereotyping, but that audience would probably like the show.
Yeah, and...
I mean, it's about country music, so a country music channel makes sense.
Yeah, and on this... And on the same hand, and we'll get to this more in a second with Supergirl, but also Nashville brings a network audience with it. Like, it didn't do great for ABC, but on cable, I mean, it would have pretty solid numbers, and it might be something that would help CMT build up their brand, even if it's catering to the audience they already get. It is still nice to have a show that, you know, 2 or 3 million people watch a week.
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be people that would be like, oh, what's CMT? I'm going to go, I love Nashville, so I'm going to go check it out, which is exactly what a cable channel wants to see. And then The Family was canceled. I'm not sure what that was. Do you know what that
was?
I
have no idea what that is either. Like, I've seen commercials for it, but I mean, I think, you know, when people go through that reaction, I think it's pretty safe to say that it's not worth it. I also think the other thing with this show is that it on Thursday, and ABC's Thursday is pretty solid with Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder. So it, you know, it didn't light the world on fire, and it's not necessarily needed. So that was probably an easy getaway for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Castle was canceled, which was on its 9th season, I think?
8th.
8th season? Oh, this would have been the 9th season. But,
yeah.
I mean, the lead, the female lead had just left the show. And I guess some people had thought, oh, they'll just continue it. But when, you know, it's mostly about these two characters. So when one of them leaves, to me, it was like, oh, this is probably getting canceled.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, the writing was on the wall for a while. It was supposed to be canceled last year, too. But I think, like you said, it was the fact that one of the leads, yeah, but also it was the fact that she, I mean, from what came out, it sounds like he was forced off the show, and there was a negative reaction to that. But what happened there then is, I think the negative reaction was ABC just saying, like, you know what, we don't need this headache this year, so let's just get rid of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, any show that lasts 8 years, that's a success. You know, they can do syndication, and it was a cop procedural with, you know, the twist being that he writes, he was a crime novel guy. But I'm kind of happy that it's canceled. Not that I didn't think it was a good show, but, you know, I love Nathan Fillion, and we don't have to get into I don't know if you were, like, trying to start a Save Firefly or, like, unstarted. I'm not really sure.
I was poking fun of people because, you know, it's been like 15 years at this point. Yeah. It was Bring Back Firefly. I was just poking fun of them because, you know, I've been around Twitter long enough to know, you know, like, one, most of these campaigns don't really work. But, you know, last year it was Save Constantine. This week alone it was Renew Agent Carter. And I'm like, you know, it is what it is. Like, television is a business like anything else, and if the numbers aren't there, it's not, you know, it is what it is. Like, people look at, you know, people have started a petition for Agent Carter to come back, and I'm just like, that's a very high bar for somebody to pick up. Not just because it was a low-rated show, but also the fact that Hilary Atwell, and we'll get to this in a second, has a new show coming out this fall already. And honestly speaking, when they announced that, I pretty much was certain the writing was on the wall for Agent Carter.
That's not a good sign when they're signed up for another show.
It also doesn't help that Dominique Cooper is also on another show, which is why Howard Stark had such a limited role in Agent Carter Season 2 as it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your two of your main characters are doing other things. I don't necessarily know if any network wants to deal with that hassle, especially being that ABC and Marvel seem to very, I mean, so far the only networks they've shopped to have been ABC or Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're willing to expand their reach. I mean, Disney does enjoy their control.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't really see any, like, Save Firefly, Bring Back Firefly. I didn't really see any of that.
Oh, no. I didn't see any of it. I just knew
that I'm surprised, too, that there wasn't, but I think people have given up. I think there's been a bit of a backlash to Joss Whedon since Age of Ultron. And it has been a while, you know. I don't know what most of the cast are doing, but Marina Baccarin is on Gotham.
And so, the other one is on Suits.
Summer Glau.
No. The I don't want to say the VAC chick, but yes, the VAC captain. She's on Suits as the boss.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I mean, so the, you know, Tudyk, people have moved on, and
Alan Tudyk's actually on Power, is that new DC
show?
Right.
Yeah, he's on. Although there may be
Gina Torres.
Spoiler reason why he wouldn't be on this show. But anyway, yeah. It would be interesting if they tried to bring it back. I think it would be able to do, you know, effects a lot better now. You know, they'd be able to get away with, you know, on the same budget, getting better effects than at the time. The effects really don't hold up on Firefly.
And don't get me wrong, at this at this juncture, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we're living in a society where we just got a revival for Full House.
Yeah.
We're getting a new Gilmore Girls show soon. You know, like everybody's doing Girl Meets World.
Twin Peaks, X-Files.
Exactly. So this possibility for it. Like, I would not be surprised if you start hearing Fox mute, like somebody say that Fox is thinking about this next year, and like tune it for like 15th anniversary of the show being canceled or something like that.
Or Netflix. Seems like most of them are related to Netflix in some way.
Yeah, so I would not be surprised by that at all. But like you said, I'm sure if they did, a lot of those actors would probably find time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll probably end up with something like Arrested Development,
yeah,
where it's like nobody, the whole cast isn't on one episode.
And it'd probably be 13 episodes. It wouldn't be full.
Well, I mean, the show, lasted 13 episodes. So.
True. Maybe it'd be like 7 episodes special or something like that.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, it's series like X-Files, which was what, 6 or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Speaking of X-Files, Fox had their shade as well. What did they cancel, Dan?
So they canceled The Grindr.
The Grindr,
which was, I never watched, but it had a good cast. It was Rob Lowe. It was
Ben Savage.
Ben Savage, the Charlie Day's wife. I'm forgetting her name. The waitress from Always Sunny. So, you know, I think this is more of a ratings than it is a quality. I think people like the show.
Yeah, it's one of those. It was very highly rated.
Mm-hmm.
critically rated, I should say. But Fox Tuesday was just a landfill. It was awful. I felt so bad. I mean, these shows were whatever, but I felt so bad because they moved Brooklyn Nine-Nine there, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine catered this year. I was so happy they brought that back, and I hope they move back to Sunday because it's done nothing for them on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And
they also canceled Grandfathered, which was John Stamos. And I'd seen a few episodes, and it wasn't bad at all. Like, it was, you know, about him learning that he had a son that he never knew about. And he's sort of just like what we kind of imagined he was like a restaurateur, but he just was like, didn't care about family stuff. But, you know, it was sort of that traditional, like, guy who doesn't care about family discovers he has a family and has to.
Yeah.
It was a little traditional, but it wasn't bad. But, and you think with the Full House, I wonder if there was any push because of Full House, but I guess not.
I am curious if he will have a bigger role on Full House now that he doesn't have this show to tie him up. But that's a discussion for another day.
Mm-hmm. And then two that I have not heard about, never heard about, but, you know, Border Town and Cooper Barrett's Guide to Surviving Life.
Yeah, I know. All I know is both of those aired on Sunday.
Okay.
That's all I know about
Sunday
those shows.
Is really bad unless you're HBO, it seems to me.
Well, it's actually not that bad for Fox because
that's true.
You have the Simpsons Family Guy sandwich, which is where Brooklyn Nine-Nine used to go in. But yeah, they moved those shows in there and it just catered. So yeah, that's not surprising to me at all. The CW, which has these. Read this off and then I'll give my little spiel about the CW.
Okay. It says all they canceled was Containment,
which I
think I had heard about, but I had never watched.
Yeah, it's the show that comes on after The Flash. That's all I know.
Which is a great lead-in, so I'm sure if the ratings weren't great. And CW never cancels anything, so it must have been doing badly.
Well, I mean, to be fair to them, they also advertised it. It was a limited series. So you always have that out whenever you say it's a limited series. Like, we only intended this to be one season. Mm. But to your point, and this is what I was going to say, the CW doesn't really cancel a lot, or they give a lot of shows that have poor ratings a longer chance than most networks would, because of their shows. The Containment is the only one canceled. I think Beauty and the Beast is ending this summer as well, but that was announced ahead of time. And I think it's something that a lot of networks take for granted, And granted, see, the CW has the luxury of this, is that the CW is building trust with their audience, because I think, and I could be wrong, I go into the CW shows and I'm not afraid that I can't get invested in one of their first season shows because it's not going to come back for a second season. Like, the Tomorrow People, I think, was the last show that they had that was canceled after one season. I mean, they could have done something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like with the, you know, NBC announced Power is, and I saw a lot of people saying, oh, I'm not going to watch that. It's already canceled. Or Fox announced a show, and it's like, or, you know, Fox canceled The Grind, and people are like, oh, of course, it's Fox. And it's like, these networks can't win because they have this reputation, right or wrong. I think all of them have been very fair, beyond fair to some, certain degrees on shows, with not canceling them over the past 2 years or so. But the CW has that trust where it's like, oh, okay. Like, okay, we can talk about this here. Supergirl was announced that that's moved CBS, moved it to the CW, and now it's like, okay, Supergirl's going to go on for like 15 years now.
I guess. Like, I mean, no... people were very worried. I mean, CBS doesn't really cancel their shows either, and I think CBS sort of has a similar trust.
I think it depends. I think it's the fact that nobody watches CBS.
Well, lots of people watch it, just nobody that we really...
Yeah, that's what I mean. No, it's like, it's not, because, like, honestly speaking, and we'll get to this later on, but I'm not at Supergirl, it's no longer on CBS. I don't even know if you were an avid Supergirl watcher.
Oh, yeah.
What do you watch on CBS?
That was the only thing I watched on CBS.
That's exactly the same way I am. I'm like, okay, I have no reason to watch CBS
and
anymore.
I think the traditional CBS audience didn't watch Supergirl, so I think they were basically getting the CW audience. Anyway,
yeah, they were getting a decent audience, and this is something, but this is the point I was going to make in a bit, is that I'm curious to see how much of Supergirl's CBS audience translates to the CW's audience, because Supergirl was by far the most popular comic book show. It was actually, I think, not the fourth biggest, but it was the fourth biggest new show of 2015. So
who's
I'm
doing better than Gotham?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge get for CW. I think, I think a lot of people are concerned about budget.
Budget,
which
yes.
Which is the biggest thing.
Yes. I mean, honestly speaking, I think more than budget, because, you know, like Martian Manhunter is going to transform like once a season now. I think more than budget, it's also one of the big worries. Like I was saying, with Krista Flockhart, is she going to stick around? Is she going to be a mainstay of the show, or is it just going to be a Cat Grant shows up for like one scene every episode now, so that she only films in Vancouver like every other weekend or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. You know, I think we don't really know anything, but whether, you know, will the show tie in more to the other CW shows now that they're in Vancouver? I mean, I think that was one of the big reasons they didn't cross over more, was just because they filmed in LA.
And I mean, that alone is going to save them a ton of money.
Yeah.
But it also sucks because I like the CW shows, but you can kind of tell that they run out of places to film really quickly, which is why half of Arrow and Flash take place in abandoned warehouses.
Yeah, yeah. Like I always find it funny that the Flash, where the police station is, was the Daily Planet on Smallville, and you know, you could just. Especially with Smallville being like 10 seasons. If you watched all that and now you watch these shows, like, there's so much overlap.
Yeah, like, Jitters is the same. It's not Jitters on Arrow, but it's a similar restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They've used the university several times. I think they've used it as an actual university, but they've used it for several different things. I mean, yeah. And it's, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's easier. I know why Vancouver, but it's other places that film for cheap. Like, Atlanta, as I hear, is on the upswing and stuff like that. Detroit's always a decent one. Granted, nobody wants to live in Detroit. But yeah, it's going. And I am also curious to see how it works out with the Supergirl, because they have established that Supergirl takes place in another Earth. So is it going to be a really quick crisis, or is it, and this is what I hope for, is that it remains separate, But like once a year, either somebody she crosses over, or somebody they cross over into her universe, because, and this is going this you know this happens with movies. It's gonna be, it's probably more like it happened with TV shows. You know, all of Phase 2 is like, why didn't Iron Man call the Avengers? Why didn't Captain America call the Avengers? Mm-hmm. Why didn't Thor call the Avengers? It's going to be like, why doesn't Ivor call the Flash the Supergirl? Why doesn't the Flash call the Supergirl? Why doesn't Supergirl call the Flash? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm torn. You know, my biggest problem with Supergirl is the fact that there's a Superman in the universe in her world. So I think it's a really, really easy way to like remove that problem by just bringing her and a few people into, you know, what we call Earth One, which is the Flash and Arrow. But
I mean, technically, I guess Supergirl's not even Earth Two, because that's already been established.
Yeah, she's Earth Three, technically.
But I think another point that a friend pointed out to me, which is a fair point, and I'm kind of curious to see what happens, is that one of it was a problem, but, you know, they worked around it well for the most part in the back half of the season. One of the problems with being on CBS is you have to be such a broad show where the CW kind of knows this niche. And I think you're going to see Supergirl kind of focus on that instead of trying to be a show that reaches everybody.
It's funny, though. A lot of people were saying, like, you know, now that it's moving to CW, maybe there'll be less romantic issues. And it's like, no.
Now you're going to have a love triangle, a love, I guess, circle at this point, with Kara, James, Wynn, Barry, Iris, Ivor, for the city.
It's just fun, though. It's just like, that was my favorite episode of Supergirl, was when the Flash was on it. And it's tough because, yeah, you have these issues of, well, why didn't they call them or whatever, but it's just so fun to see these. And I think that I haven't really liked Arrow the last two seasons, but whenever Oliver is on the Flash, he's awesome, because it's fun to see these guys interacting. You know, it's such a comic book thing. So it's tough. I think what they'll do is, at least the first half of the season will just be, they'll see how it does sort of on its own.
Well, I imagine they'll still do the big crossover. I'm just curious if it's just going to be Arrow and the Flash, if it's going to be Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, is it going to be Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow? Because, I mean, I could be wrong. I've heard of I don't think I've ever heard of a four show crossover.
Yeah.
And
I mean, honestly surprised they were bringing back Legends of Tomorrow, and this was announced a while ago. But you know, it's such a easy way to say, oh yeah, that was just a one-off, we're just, you know, because it seems like, I've heard it's pretty expensive, the ratings have been good, but not even better than The Flash, and, you know, you have a ton of characters, and it's sort of a writing pickle, because there's no, you have the ship, but it's really hard to ground the show on, you know, what sets you're going to have outside of the ship.
And the weird thing to me wasn't necessarily that they brought back Legends, but the fact that it doesn't seem like they're going to be changing the characters. Like, I honestly expected if they came back for a season two, they'd get rid of, like, some of the more extravagant characters.
Right.
Like Firestorm and the Atom. Because then, like, if it's like White Canary, if it's like Hawk Girl, you know, CG wings, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Fighting, no big deal. But like having these CG heavy characters, I mean, it's kind of redundant, because you have like Firestorm, who shows up like once every other episode, because there's always some excuse why him and Stein can't be together.
Yeah. I mean, I think, didn't they originally announce it as an anthology show where they'd have a different cast every year?
That was like, yeah, how it was built before. I guess, you know, like, it's like, oh, we're just going to keep these characters. You know, they said that they're retooling, because Legends is okay, but I just felt like it's one of those shows that just, it suffered from having one dominant storyline, because like the characters got really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they had to keep on making really stupid decisions for the plot to progress.
Yeah, I mean, and there's been some good stuff in terms of like, going into the comic books with like Jonah Hex, but it hasn't been as like every episode isn't like, oh my god, like that character from the comics. They like go to the 50s and then don't really meet anybody. I mean, I don't know. It's tough because you don't want to have that, have the show rely on those kind of cameos, but that's also the fun of being able to time travel.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious to see what I don't know how to put this because it doesn't make sense on a live action budget, but I wish that in some fashion that they could have, and it also doesn't make any sense because you can't get these characters back. But DC's had so many shows over the past 70 some odd years that it would be great if they were able to time travel to various shows and stuff like that. You know, the original Batman, the Superman, those and stuff like that. Or just kind of play around in the DC universe, because this whole stuff with Vandal Savage has been awful. Like, it's not that Vandal Savage isn't a bad villain and they're not bad heroes. It's just like, because like it's like it was their one mission. Like, it's like, okay, we have to stretch this out for 14 episodes. So every time they got close, they had to screw up in some fashion. And it made sense in the first few episodes because they're a team that they're not a team. They're a bunch of individuals brought together by chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, it's like, okay, they're a team now, and they're still making these really stupid mistakes.
And you know, this may not bug other people, but it still bugs me that they haven't. You know, in Flash and Arrow, there was a crossover where they fought Vandal Savage and he got turned into dust, basically. And then he gets picked up by Malcolm Merlyn. And it's never been explained, like, how he exists past 2016. And I'm assuming they'll, maybe in the finale of Legends of Tomorrow or something, explain that.
And it also doesn't make any sense, as far as I can tell, how they... I mean, I guess they, you know, it's retro continuity or whatever. Because I'm almost certain that in that crossover, wasn't it Oliver in the Flash who killed Vandal Savage?
Yeah.
And it was established on Legends that the only people who can kill him are the Hawk people.
Yeah. I'd have to watch it again, but I think they, like, turned his staff against him.
Yeah, but I thought even if it has to be a weapon that was there at the time,
which is I think how they explain that's why he doesn't go away forever. Like, that's why he can come back, is because that he wasn't killed by one of those two. But I don't know.
Yes, but I mean, they turned him into dust. I mean, that's the thing. I don't. I don't. It's whatever. just kind of going through, because I don't think these were on the list I sent you. NBC canceled Telenovela, which was the, I forget who, I want to say Jennifer Lawrence, but I don't think it was her. But it was like that, Telenovela on TV, Undateable, which was an odd, interesting concept, a live sitcom every week. Game of Silence, which I think I always hear of a cheap Game of Thrones knockoff, but it isn't.
Yeah, and Telenovela, and it's probably not, but it seems like it's taking advantage of Jane the Virgin. Like, oh yeah, that's doing pretty well. People like Jane the Virgin, so let's just do that, kind of. But I don't know, it could have been different. I mean, there's a huge audience for telenovelas, so. And that's probably just being cynical. So what else was canceled? Anything interesting?
Anything interesting? Well, I guess from CBS end, they canceled CSI Cyber, which means for the first time in the double O's, there's not going to be a CSI show on TV.
I don't know. No CSI. Is there any Law & Order shows still on?
Yeah, I think SVU still on.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, those shows, you know, we used to joke there'd be CBS would just be all CSI shows and NBC would be all Law & Order shows, but it's sort of gone away. It's sort of, they're sort of being replaced by other related shows. It is
kind of funny though, because you do have something similar to that on NBC and CW, because the CW is essentially a comic book show network at this point.
The DCW.
But even, you know, they also I guess we'll get to, they also picked up Riverdale, which is the Archie show. Mm-hmm. So they have Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, iZombie, Legends of Tomorrow, Riverdale. Six shows based off of comic books.
Yeah.
NBC has four shows. I don't want to say based off of Chicago, but like the Chicago series, so Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago PD, and now they announced Chicago Justice.
Yeah, and apparently they all interact, which
yeah,
is so
yeah,
cool. Like, that's awesome. I don't watch any of those shows, but like if I was into procedurals, I would be so on board with the idea of the hospital show interacting with the cop show. That's just, I don't know. I don't watch them, and that doesn't really make me want to, but if I was going to watch a procedural, I would watch those. And I think it has to go with how, you know, I think people want shows that interact now, even not the comic book audience. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting, because they would always, with the old CSI shows, like, they would have one episode where the new cast would come in to the old show to basically springboard the new show, and then they would never interact again. Like with CSI Miami and CSI New York and stuff. But this is like a whole, it's sort of a newer generation of that.
I mean, crossovers aren't new, but it's so weird to see so many kind of connected universe TV shows now. Mm. I mean, I don't even want to blame Marvel for that, because like you said, it's something that SVU Young Adult has been doing since the 90s. It's, you know, even beyond that, they had stuff like Pacific. No, not Pacific View. There was a like Rookie View or something like that. There's a bunch, you know, like shows spin off of shows. I mean, you know, Cheers, Begot, Frasier, Perfect Strangers, Begot, Family Matters, and TGIF used to cross over all their shows, even if they didn't make, you know, like they used to have like that one time where like Sabrina would cross over with Boy Meets World, and Boy Meets World would cross over with, you know, and then Urkel would be on Full House, and Stephanie would be on Step by Step, and all that weird nonsense. So that's been a thing that's happened before, but never to the level that you kind of see with Chicago, like with these procedurals, where it's like an entire episodes on each show dedicated to that. The first time I really kind of encountered it, and it was really strange for me, was Buffy and Angel. Because I've actually never watched Angel, but I've seen Buffy. And there are certain episodes where it's all on Angel. So like, she'll go away, she'll come back, and like, I have no idea what happened. Like, they give you a quick recap. And that's what I've always been afraid of, because I feel like, you know, like when the Flash was on Supergirl, I remember a lot of people, I got to catch up on Supergirl now. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I this is why I never wanted all these shows to be connected, because I don't want people to feel obligated to watch 40 hours of TV to understand an episode.
Right.
I watch all these shows by choice, but if I didn't, I wouldn't want to make, okay, I want to watch The Flash. It's crossing over with Arrow. I got to watch two and a half seasons of Arrow. I'm watching Supergirl. It's crossing over with The Flash. I got to watch a season and a half of The Flash. And I'm like, yeah, that type of stuff isn't good for anybody. Nobody has that time. If you're passionate and you want to follow these things, that's fine. But being forced to is never good.
Yeah. It's an interesting balance you have to, because you're never going to have, unless you change the marketing somehow, your audience is always going to be, like you were talking about with Most Wanted, it's going to be limited to the people that watch the first show, and some of those people aren't going to stick with the second show. So it works when it's like Cheers to Frasier, because Cheers was like the biggest show going at the time. So, you know, that's an easy win. So I don't know, like, what's the most highly rated show like right now?
On any
network?
Big Bang Theory.
Okay. Well, I could easily see them doing a Big Bang Theory spinoff, you know. Not that I would watch it, but, you know, that's an easier way to spin off. And Buffy was a really big show, so that's kind of why they did Angel. But,
Yeah, and I also do think there are certain times, and I do think this is kind of what's happening to Arrow, and the Flash is getting up there too. I do think there are times when shows become too big, where you have too many characters, and there's two options. You can start killing people off, which we've noted on our last show, or you work so long before it becomes tiresome, or you can try to spin them off and give them their own thing. I mean, that's kind of what they did with Marvel's Most Wanted, because, you know, I will be honest, I did not really watch much with Bobby and Hunter, because that was during one of my very, very often sabbaticals from the show. But from what I did see from time to time, it's like there was a lot of characters, and what would happen, it's like some characters would really just sit around doing nothing for an episode, because it's very difficult to manage, what's eight main characters at that point? So, in that sense, it makes sense to kind of, okay, we'll spin them off to their own little thing, and we'll do, we'll see what that can happen. But you'd have to have a firm enough base. Like, if you spin something off the Flash on the CW, it makes sense. I wouldn't necessarily spin off something like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, though, because, you know, like, there's not a huge audience for that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting. I think, with Arrows, because that was CW's, at the time, it was doing pretty well, and now Flash is doing really
Oh,
well.
yeah, I mean, Arrow remains the number two show. At the time, it was the number one show. Flash is number one easily. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, it's Flash, Arrow, and then depending on the week, it's either Supernatural or it's Legends of Tomorrow. And I imagine it probably will go Supergirl, tied with the Flash, Arrow. We'll see, because Arrow, I think, has to end season four strong. Like you said, there's a lot of people who are kind of wishy-washy on the last two seasons. I'm not necessarily one of those people, but I understand people's gripe with it completely.
Well, we could
But
talk
moving on.
about Supernatural coming back, which is season 12.
Supernatural will
Crazy.
never die. Supernatural at this point will probably outlast the CW. I don't know if you know that, but Supernatural is older than the CW itself.
Wow.
I think the CW is 10 years old or something like that, and Supernatural is, because Supernatural and I think Smallville were like two of the big shows that they brought over when they renamed it and rebranded it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think they said that it has a solid enough fan base, and they said that they will continue to support it as long as the two leads want to do it. And truth be told, both of them have tried their hands at movie careers and it has not panned out, so I wouldn't be surprised if they stuck with this.
Yeah, I mean it's a great it does inspire like this confidence in their other shows like The Flash. I mean The Flash is doing better, so I'm assuming The Flash will go as long as the producers and the actors want to do it. And yeah, and for comic book fans like us, you don't want to see like it when a show ends on TV, it's pretty, it means it's going to be a while. It's not even like movies where they reboot it after a couple years. Like, when it usually means that it's going to be a while before something new comes up. So, yeah, it's interesting that CW has inspired this confidence with people.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's at this point, it's a genre network. It's a show. It's a network which is why the two shows that do poorest on that network are the ones that are kind of the most straightforward, Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. But they're also the most critically acclaimed shows on the network, as in the only ones who have actually won notable awards. But I mean, I think Flash and Arrow have won like Teen Choice Awards or People's Choice Awards, stuff that nobody counts. But like, Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend are YouTube that have Emmy wins in their bag, which is why they'll stick with the network. What I hope, and we'll see more of this next week, and we'll probably come back and talk about this in August. But I hope that they break up those shows, because I don't neither one of them they're not great together, because neither one of them have an audience. But if they pair it with something like Riverdale, which I think will have a decent audience, because Archie is one of those franchises that everybody knows, and I think Archie, especially modern Archie, is such a perfect fit for the CW style of shows. I mean, because the CW is all romance and nothing's more will they, won't they than the Archie franchise.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that show does. And yeah, I agree. I think it makes sense. Makes sense with ex-girlfriend and Jane the Virgin.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this again more later this year. I mean, just because we are hitting the hour mark, I am curious. I mean, I you probably have not paid as much attention as I have, and I haven't paid a ton of attention either. Is there any new show that you've seen that you're kind of curious about checking out this fall? You know, like gut instinct, first thing first.
Looking at the list right now, there nothing that's popped out really. Which is why I'm happy that most of the comic book shows weren't canceled. But yeah, it seems like a lot of comedies, which is tough because comedies are, you know, I think that a reason is because they're pretty cheap to produce, but it's just so hard. It's so hard to, you know.
I think comedies, more than anything else, from my experience, even though the comedies I absolutely love, comedies take a while to kind of find their footing. Mm-hmm. And usually what that means is a lot of them get canceled before they can find their groove. Because, like, honestly speaking, I think I shared this story before. I watched the first season of Parks and Recreation, and I completely was like, I'm not watching this show. This show's awful. Like, halfway through season two, my friends are like, you got to check out Parks and Rec. I'm like, nope, that first season was terrible. Like, come on, you got to check out Parks and Rec. I'm like, fine, whatever. I checked out Parks and Rec. And Parks and Rec, outside of that first season, one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Same thing with The Office. The first season of The Office is horrible. And then it becomes great. And like just in season two, like they just have to get that first season kind of out of the way.
The big problem with The Office, the first season, I don't know if you've ever seen it, is that they try so much to be like The Office European version.
Totally.
And then season two is like, you know what? Let's trust our characters to be these people. And then, yeah, like you said, it was off to the races with that.
Yeah. I feel like, though, that the Modern Family did pretty well its first season. Like, it was pretty funny. Like, I feel like it's been pretty consistent its whole run. And I feel like shows are trying to be more like that. You know, a little more broad than something like Parks and Rec or The Office, which are...
Well, yeah, I feel like stuff like that, like the family comedies are... Because Blackish also started off strong, you know, stuff like that. But you get kind of the high concept ones, like A to Z. You know, okay, I'm not going to... Selfie was one of those that was just kind of defeated by its branding and its name as well. But it was one of those comedies that a lot of people will say came around by the time it was beginning to wrap up because it understood what it wanted to be, where the first few episodes are just kind of like... These characters very shallow. We have to form and develop them. And a lot of people don't give shows that opportunity. And to be fair, a lot of it comes down to the naming as well. Like, I know a lot of people who will not watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend because of the name. Like, I don't know if it's still going on, but there was a time Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was free on iTunes for a few days. And I posted it on Facebook, and people are like, I'm not watching this show. I'm like, I think I said this on Twitter. I'm like, ignore the name.
Similar to that show, Cougar, I think it was Cougar Wives?
Cougar Town.
And the producers and actors were like, please watch the show. Ignore the name. Like, we can't change the name now. It's too late, but it has nothing to do with that. Like, please watch the show. And I think the name really does it, I mean, turned me off to the show too, so, and I've heard it's good.
I've heard there are people who I know who won't watch something like Blackish because of the name,
right.
And it's like I get it, but I also don't.
This is kind of an interesting show. Have you heard of this Time After Time?
I've heard of it. I've not seen anything about it.
It's about a young H.G. Wells, and he has a time machine. So that could be interesting.
It is fascinating that time travel is going to be next season's big thing. Because NBC picked up a show called Timeless, and it's like a cop show where she travels through time hunting. I mean, it's basically Legends of Tomorrow. But, yeah. It's interesting because And there's also two shows that are kind of a mixture of live action and like animatronics or animation. And I also like the Son of Scorn, who looks like He-Man.
Oh yeah, that looks interesting. It's kind of like a Roger Rabbit situation.
Yeah, on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious about that.
I'm curious about that. That could be interesting. I mean, it seems like there might be a He-Man movie coming out.
I don't
have any connection to the franchise, but I mean, Gary Whitta, who, you know, just wrote Rogue One, has been talking a lot about He-Man, so I'm assuming that's what that is. Unless he's trolling people, but there's a show from Matt LeBlanc. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it seems pretty where, you know, the dad stays home and the mom goes to work, a comedy series. But I love, you know, I'll always have a soft spot for those Friends people. Do you know what network that's? It doesn't really say what. Oh, CBS. What? Interesting.
Oh.
I think it'd be NBC.
CBS. I'm kind of curious. I think they picked up Training Day. I think they picked up Training Day. And there's another show based off of a TV, another show based off of a movie that I'm drawing a blank on right now. Oh, no, they're rebooting MacGyver.
Oh, really? Jeez.
Yes. Like I said, everything old is new again.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not too much sort of...
And Lethal Weapon's coming to AVM Fox.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. It can go either way because it's, you know, buddy cops are easy to do, but you look at Rush Hour and that kind of failed on CBS this season as well, so.
Yeah, I never, did you watch that at all? I didn't see that.
I've seen the first episode and I was like, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah, because a lot of what makes those things unique is the actors, you know, like having Rush Hour without, you know, Jackie Chan and what's his name? You know, the other guy. Or having Lethal Weapon without Mel Gibson. Yeah, those characters, I think we underrate the actors in these cases where it's like the actors really did make a lot of these shows, which is what's interesting about like X-Files, where they actually got the real, like if they tried to do a new X-Files where it was brand new people and didn't have Mulder or Scully, I think it would have done really poorly.
Yeah. But. Yeah, we shall see. So, yeah, anything else before we wrap it up this week?
No, I mean, and you could correct me, but it seemed like there was more cancellations than usual. And this could just be because it's just happened, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't know off the top of my head. I don't feel like this has been more cancellations. I feel like this has been more concentrated cancellations, where it's like every, like I said, because usually what happens is like as a show is performing poorly, networks will kill them off during the season. A lot of these shows, like, you know, you look at Muppets. The Muppets stopped airing in March. Agent Carter stopped airing in February. Like some of these shows, they could have canceled then and just said, we're not bringing it back. But they waited until this week to be like, okay, what do we have? What can we get? Yeah. And they did that.
And maybe, you know, maybe it means they're confident about the pilots that they were seeing. And they're saying like, yeah, we can cancel these because we have these new shows that are coming, which is a, you know, maybe a positive way of spinning it.
Oh, and I think that's what they did. And I think that's why, because there have been times, I think, again, I've only been following this for like the last 3 or 4 years, so my thing isn't. But I feel like there's been times where like I feel like the pilot pool has been very shallow. And it's like, you know what, I'd rather stick with this show that you kind of have an idea about and make that work instead of trying this new show that you have to start from ground zero with. You have no audience. You have to market it all over again. Like, you know, like the NBC kept Grime and they kept, you know, they tried a bunch of shows with it this year. And I'm like, you know, in hindsight, if they had kept Constantine with it, Constantine and it paired well, they did decently together. Like, they weren't lighting the world on fire, but it did better than any other show they put with it this past season. And, you know, if you have found ways to cut the budget and stuff like that, so.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about 24's coming back.
I mean, it's 24 in name. It doesn't have Jack Bauer.
Yeah, exactly. So. It's kind of, it's like bringing back the X-Files without Mulder Scully. It's kind of, it'll be interesting to see how it does. I don't think it'll do very well. But who knows? It could be really good.
I mean, it's 24. The concept, I think, is still rather unique.
But it's not going to be 24 episodes, right?
I honestly don't know. I've heard
it's only going to be 12 episodes, which kind of defeats the purpose of... I mean, it doesn't defeat the purpose of the show, but one of the interesting things was showing a full day.
Yeah, I mean, and then when they did the 24... Resurrection? Whatever right. one it was.
Yeah, the one in England.
Yeah, they pretty much had just a half day, and then at the end they skipped like 12 hours, and like that's cheating, but okay, because you still got the concept of everything happening in this super condensed time.
Oh yeah, and Prison Break is coming back.
Yes, which was interesting because you know one of the things was they're both on it tomorrow.
Yeah,
and it was one of those contracts where they were like, we'll do it, but we're gonna film around that into tomorrow.
Yeah, that's interesting that because they had an easy out to say, okay, we're going to take out, you know, Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell, and they could still have Legends of Tomorrow, but, you know, it's interesting that they're both going to be on season two and be on Prison Break. That's, I mean, it's good for them. I mean, they, you know, make more money or whatever, but I'm sure the scheduling is going to be a nightmare. Let's see. Yeah, there's not too much else. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see once the pilots start coming out, the trailers and some of the episodes start coming out. That's always an exciting time because, you know, it's interesting to see what's coming up that's new. Especially Powerless. I'm curious about whether that'll actually be funny because it has a great cast. You know, it's got Danny Putty from Community, and it's got Alan Tudyk, and I mean... I don't really like Vanessa Hudgens, but she's a big star, so...
What I'm most curious about is, because the DC Universe is so splintered, it's going to be weird, because I feel like this is one of those shows that needed to be connected to something, and it's not, so it's like, on one side, you can make up all these crazy battles and stuff, and on the other hand, I feel like it's one of those things that would have made more sense if it was like in the Arrowverse, or the Snyderverse, or whatever.
Wait, they're making a Cruel Intentions show, and Sarah Michelle Gellar's going to be on it?
Yep.
Wow. It's
about her brother's son.
So they couldn't get...
I guess her nephew.
They couldn't get Ryan Phillippe back?
He's dead.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie. You're right, yeah.
Spoilers.
Or, what's her name? Reese Witherspoon? That's crazy. Okay. That's interesting. I mean...
Reese Witherspoon should be in it. I think she's the kid's parent mom, but I don't know. I don't think she's in this show.
Yeah. And they're making a Taken show. Okay. So it's a prequel to the Taken series. Interesting. Yeah, that, I can't see a Taken TV show doing very well.
Again, it sounds like a very limited concept.
Wait, it's a prequel to the first movie where his daughter was kidnapped?
So I guess it's about him being a gay, you know, whatever he did, which, again, doesn't need to be taken. I mean, because it's also very depressing because, you know, he's going to have a broken family he has nothing to do with.
I wonder if it'll show, like, I wonder if he'll be with his family in the show and it'll, like, show how that, you know, went badly or something, like he spent too much time with his work or did something bad. I don't know. I could see that. But I guess it's not actually about his daughter getting kidnapped. It's just saying, like...
Yeah, it's about him.
The movie where his daughter... Because if his daughter was kidnapped when she was, like, 5 years old, it'd be like, Jesus, like, what's going on? Yeah, Timeless. Yeah, that looks interesting. Sort of.
Okay. Just as a bit of showing to do, we will I will be posting the TV show choice that I find on our Nerds on the Rocks Twitter account. Well, Nerds on the Rocks Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus, because we still have a Google Plus account. Because it's synced to our Hootsuite, so I might as well post it. And I posted all of NBC One as of this recording. So NBC One has three new shows coming out this fall: Timeless, This Is Us, and The Good Place. Those are up there. Trillia's named brief impressions of them. And I will try to do this for all of them. See, it's upfronted all week. CBS, CW, Fox, NBC. I mean, CBS still need to go. Cable's its own thing. Cable does it whenever. I think Cable's did some in April. They'll do some later on this year, whatever. So, yes, join us for that. Check out those Trillia's. Yeah, you know, find us on nerdsontherocks.com. You can find Dan and me on Twitter. Both of our names will be in the show notes because I have no idea how to pronounce your name. Well, it's Gazelle.
Yeah.
Gazelle.
No.
Gazelle 87.
No, it's Gazelle with one L.
87. And I am ER_NOTR. Which, if you want to know, stands for Earl Rufus _ Nerds on the Rocks. At one point, I will probably actually have an actual name, but we'll see. And hopefully when Sam's feeling better and Scott's not working, we will be back to discuss Civil War. Spoilers, we all enjoyed it. But, you know, might not have a discussion about
it. Yeah, I think we have semi-differing thoughts on it, so should be interesting.
So, yes, join us for that. And until then, have a good week.